Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. And you are listening to episode 87, Supporting Your Sleep with Kate Turner. Before we pop into today's show, I wanted to let you know that Living the Good Life Naturally Magnesium is a show sponsor. If you want to check out how to use magnesium transdermally through your skin, head over to the show notes and use code WICHY, W-I-C-H-Y, to get 10% off your offer. And if you want to learn more about magnesium, listen to episode 73 with Kristen Bowen. But today's guest, Kate Turner, is a nutrition specialist at Nordic Naturals. And we get to talk about how to naturally support your sleep and why a real good night's sleep is vital to your health and well-being. And she was telling me on today's episode, so many of us might be going to bed and waking up at the, you know, over 6 hours, 8 hours of sleep, but we might not realize that that our quality of sleep is so poor. So we dive into so many things in today's episode about, are you really getting that good quality of sleep, even though you might be in bed for longer hours? And how sleep can actually deter or keep you from your health goals, and how to deploy proactive rather than reactive wellness strategies in your life, the science and stages of sleep, what's actually going on in your body, and why is it so important to get that deep sleep, the optimal times to actually go to sleep, you know, working with our own body's biochemistry. There's actually a very small window when we should be going to bed and waking up every day, which is awesome. And just other hacks that you can start doing tonight for better sleep, caffeine, sugar, and sleep, how sleep can support your immune system. And on today's episode, I have to pull out this amazing quote that she said. There's some scientific studies that if you get less than 6 hours of sleep, your chances of catching the common cold are 4 times greater than if you got more than 6 or 8 hours of sleep. That's just amazing. And of course, supplements to support your sleep and so much more. So without further ado, please enjoy episode 87, Supporting Your Sleep with Kate Turner. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. Again, I am your host, Lauren, and this is a show you get to learn that your body is not in your way, but actually leading your way. And today we have the amazing Kate Turner of Nordic Naturals, and we're going to kind of talk about sleep and how it just makes life in general so much better when you can have it. Quick little bio on Kate before we jump in. Our guest today, Kate Turner, is a nutrition specialist at Nordic Naturals. As a registered dietitian and personal trainer, Kate is passionate about improving people's health through evidence-based nutrition, education, and exercise. This passion drove her to complete her master's in nutrition education, teach at the graduate level, and travel to Italy about Mediterranean cuisine. Oh, that sounds delicious. Kate has over 8 years of experience in the field of nutrition as a wellness director, private nutrition consultant, educator, public speaker, and she is here today to discuss the ways we can live healthier, happier, and better sleeping lives. Welcome to the show, Kate.
Thanks, Lauren. Yeah, no, I really hope we get you to that point, right? Healthier, happier, and sleep is a big part of that.
Oh my goodness. Yes. I've never had too much trouble with sleep, but when I've had, it's like everything just comes crashing down. Everything just seems bigger and worse than it should be.
It's debilitating.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. And that's where you think for people who you know, get bad sleep most nights or just less sleep. Some people don't even realize they're not getting enough sleep or they're getting poor quality sleep. And then they think they just have to live that way with all the repercussions, but I mean, they don't.
No, you don't have to. You don't have to over caffeinate because off air, we did chat about, I was like, I have successfully like quit caffeine recently. And it's like game changing. My skin has completely cleared up. My I quit caffeine because hormonally, it messes, the coffee can mess with your hormones. So that and so much more. But before I derail too much, before we get started here, beautiful intro, Kate, but I would love to hear how you got to doing the work you do today. I'm sure there's some type of like personal growth or healing story in there as well.
Yeah. I'm going to make this short because it can get long. So, I think where my turning point was, so like my intro said, I'm a registered dietitian, personal trainer. I was working as a wellness director back in Philadelphia, and I was in like that go mode, right? You know, like constantly going, you know, teaching fitness classes, teaching nutrition classes, seeing private clients, and just, I felt like I always had to do more. And then I was also, teaching a graduate course at night as well. So just constantly on the move. And I felt like that's like what I had to do. And then, like my bio said, I did have a time where I was just burnt out from it all. And my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, we had decided we wanted to move to California. It had always been one of our dreams. And he actually got a job opportunity, so went ahead of me. And I was still, living in Philadelphia. I had to finish out my teaching commitments and some of my work commitments. And I realized I have a transition time right now. You know, before I move out to California and join him, is there anything I want to do? And I had taken in my undergrad, I had studied abroad in Italy and taken a Mediterranean cooking class. And I was like, you know what, if I can ever come back and do the, you know, really do this, like get trained in Mediterranean cuisine, I have to do it. So I looked at this as my one opportunity. And I went for it. And, you know, up until that point, I really focused on food and exercise. And also with my clients, those were like our main things. We also did talk about stress and things like that, but it was mainly the food and exercise component. And also for myself as well, I felt like as long as I fueled my body, I could teach, you know, a group exercise class at 5 a.m. and then have a personal training session with someone later and teach, you know, nutrition seminar at 7 p.m. at night and then go teach class until 10 p.m. and be fine, right? You know, I just thought as long as I fuel myself, it'll all be good. And going to Italy made me realize, no, there is more to life and there's also a way to live better. So there, I really got to take the time. You know, I was still exercising. I was eating very well. We had lots of food and lots of meals. So I was very nourished in that sense, but it gave me the time to really think about my life in terms of stress, sleep. I actually had time to sleep there, which was amazing, and look at my health more holistically, even though I felt like at that point I already had, you know, even with food, I was always looking at it from a holistic standpoint, but I wasn't really looking at total body health and all the factors that come in. So that was really a big turning point for me. So then when we moved out to California, I was like, all right, I'm making the lifestyle change. I'm continuing my Italy lifestyle more so. Gonna live by the beach, gonna take walks every day and prioritize, like we were saying earlier, Lauren, like prioritize my sleep, prioritize de-stressing and constantly work at it. And that's something too, when we talk about sleep and also stress in general, you have to constantly work at it. It's not something that you can just fix and then you're good to go. You're always going to have to be working at it and also finding different, you know, as you get older, things change, right? So you may have to find new ways to better manage your sleep or better manage your stress or even with your food habits, right? Because our metabolisms can slow down. So now I feel like I'm at the point where I look at every aspect of your health. So actually more so with clients now, I feel like I'm really actually managing their sleep and stress first and kind of those other factors first, because what most people don't think about is you could be going to the gym every single day. You could be eating quote unquote very healthy, right? Very good for your blood sugar, very good for your metabolism. But if your sleep is out of whack or your stress levels are high, it can prevent you from reaching your goals no matter how hard you try. So we kind of have to get those things in line first if they're an issue. For some people, they may not be an issue, but for most, I'm pretty sure stress is probably an issue. And for most that I come across, sleep is one as well. And like I said earlier, some people don't even know they have poor quality sleep because they've had it for so long. They're just used to it. So those are two things that we'll really focus on first and then go into the food part and then exercise more so last. You know, we'll put in little parts of movement, but you know, going to the gym, things like that, that will be at the end. And so that's where I had like kind of like that big shift in just how I approached my clients and my practice too.
Yeah. My story is similar. I had like the college, like 15 or maybe more, and post.
We all did, Lauren.
We all did. And I was just like, ugh. I would love to say it was like this big self-love moment, but it was like, I looked at myself in the mirror one day and I was like, I don't like this. So I ate really healthy. I went vegan at the time. I was already plant-based for 5 or 7 years. Mm-hmm. But I was just eating all green, gluten-free, you know, just cleanest. Like, I wasn't an unhealthy vegan. I was like almost all raw, you know, juicy, yeah. all the things. And then I realized like, oh, it can help a lot, but it's not the end all be all, you know, it's just like, oh, all these things emotionally or stress-wise that I was avoiding before, whether with food or whatever, now I'm like, those things are really clear in front of my face now. Crap, I better deal with this.
Well, that's like us as a society. Yeah. We're so reactive to our health versus preventive, right? Mm-hmm. Or something I like to use the term is just like, or creating our health, right? It's more so something happens and then we react and we try to fix it versus just trying to create a healthy lifestyle for ourselves, which in turn will prevent most of the time certain ailments and conditions from coming on.
Yeah. I think about like the concept of change in general. And I think it's so true. We change when we need to. Now that is I try in everything I do, whether it's health, life, you know, finances, relationships, whatever, try to be more proactive. What little steps can I take today to maintain health in all areas of my life? Because when you look at life in a holistic picture like that, you can, you know, grow this grounded, it's almost like watering your roots and letting your roots grow in every area versus this very reactive emergency kind of medicine situation here. And a lot of the, and I'm going to bring it back to sleep now. A lot of those things can tie into sleep. It's like, that can feel like an emergency, or for some people, which is sad, like you were saying, they've just been so used to poor quality of sleep, they didn't realize they, you know, had an issue.
Yeah. I find so many people just identify themselves with certain aspects of their health. So in terms of sleep, all of people who just, oh, I'm a light sleeper. I wake up throughout the night constantly, but that's just who I am. And I'm like, that's not who you are. That is your body telling you something is going on and you can't get to sleep. Now, you know, and especially for us women, yes, if you are waking up to go to the bathroom once or twice throughout the night, especially as you get older, that is normal. But if you are just waking up throughout the night consistently, or you have trouble falling asleep consistently, those are all things we can work on. So I'd like to start, Lauren, just with explaining to people the stages of sleep, because it really paints a picture of the benefits of sleep, but also just like what is actually happening while you sleep. And it'll tie into some of the recommendations I want to give. So we have four stages of sleep. In stage one, this is where, you know, you're just starting to not even to fall asleep. Your body's just preparing to fall asleep. So this is where, you know, if someone were, your cell phone were to ring, you could answer it, have a little chat with them. You're probably really groggy, but you're still pretty lucid. And then in the second stage of sleep, this is where you're preparing for deep sleep. So you're starting to get a little bit more into that paralysis state. It's going to be harder. You're probably going to ignore that phone call if your phone rings. And then stage three is where it's kind of our deep sleep, where it's focused on rest and restoration and regeneration too. So this is where our cells regenerate, our muscles, and we really build up a lot of that rest part. So like our immune system is, you know, firing in stage three and kind of recuperating. And then we have stage four, which is another form of deep sleep. And this is our REM sleep, or rapid eye movement sleep. And this is where we actually have really high brain activity. So this is where you're dreaming, but this is also where you do a lot of like your emotional processing, which affects stress, right? So your emotional processing, one thing I always love, because people are like, oh, I have those. This is the time too, when you have those aha moments. Maybe you wake up the next morning and you had been thinking about an idea and finally like it came to you, right? Or you've been working on a project and finally something came to you about it. Or you finally remembered something you've been looking for. So that's where we have that aspect of, we think about just dreaming, but it's really important for us to have that kind of turn on brain in stage four. Now in stage three as well, which is our rest and restoration, like we talked about, our hormones also reset, and our hormones can really dictate our life. So we really want to make sure that we're getting a good amount of sleep in that stage three and stage four. So I want to start off with, I feel like the one question people always ask is, you know, how many hours of sleep should I get a night? Which is a good question, but it also needs to be, how many hours of quality sleep should I get a night? So the recommendation is 7 to 9 hours. But if you just give someone those hours, I often find they'll say, okay, well, like I took a little nap in the afternoon, so that was like an hour or two. And they're kind of adding it all up and they're not focused on the quality. But a better thing to focus on is also, what time are you going to bed? So people may think it doesn't matter when those 7 to 9 hours are, but it does. So we actually spend the most time in stage three, that rest and restoration, which is also going to make you feel great. Like it's going to give you those energy levels the next day, during the hours of 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. Because with those four cycles, or those four stages, we go through about 4 to 5 cycles a night. So it's constantly going through the cycles. So if we spend the most time in stage three between the hours of 10 p.m. and 2 a.m., if you're going to bed at midnight or 1 a.m., you're gypping yourself, right? You're gypping yourself of that rest and restoration. And you have to think about too, right? We talked about that's where your immune system builds. So you're also putting yourself at risk of possibly getting sick. So I always try and tell people, if you can aim for your bedtime to be 10 p.m., and if right now you are at midnight, just start getting closer to it. Maybe you try 11 o'clock or you try 11:30 and you keep getting closer and closer to it. But being in bed by 10 p.m. can just make a lot of changes, in like right off the bat. And the great thing too is then hitting that 7 to 9 hours. So let's say 8 hours is our ideal. That's 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. of sleep. So even if you're an early riser, whether you have kids or that's your time to exercise, or you can still be up early and you get that 8 hours of sleep. So it's just something for people to think about, especially I know with COVID, and I think more so in the beginning, I think people are starting to focus on their health and their sleep a little bit more, but it can be really easy to be watching Netflix till midnight, right? Or your favorite TV show. And the other issue there is you're also letting in a lot of blue light. So blue light is emitted from any type of our devices, our TVs, our cell phones, anything, your tablets, anything that emits that electronic blue light. So from there, what happens is when we're getting ready to go to bed, naturally our melatonin levels should increase. But one of the biggest things that will not make your melatonin levels increase is light in general, but specifically blue light. So different options you can do here. I'm not saying don't watch, you know, you can't watch TV before bed, because I think that's unrealistic for some people. If you do like a good like book before bed, or you can just read a chapter before bed and kind of give yourself a buffer zone, but you can also change the settings in your devices to make them warmer, including your TV. Most people don't realize you can do that on your TV, or if you're on your computer later, that's another great way. And then also, if you do get high quality blue light glasses, there still needs to be way more research. I know for myself, I actually do find mine really do help me, because the nights I forget, I notice that my eyes are working harder, and that I don't go to sleep as early as I normally do. But again, getting a good pair like that. But it's really important that we create kind of this environment when we're getting ready to go to bed about, you know, if we're saying we're trying to get in bed by 10 p.m., okay, around 9:30, like this is where I want you to, maybe you go wash your face, or like we said, read a chapter in your book, give yourself like a little bit of a buffer zone and just get yourself ready for bed. If you are one of those people that's like, sorry, my phone is going to be glued to me until I go to sleep, try maybe some blue light blocking glasses. See if even you can do, you know, a 5-minute meditation before, you know, after you put your phone down and before you go to sleep. But you need to create a little bit of a buffer zone for yourself so your melatonin can naturally increase.
Awesome. Yeah, I know. For me, Mel puts you to bed and Sarah gets you up. So serotonin and melatonin, that's how I always remember it. I've gone on many meditation retreats where we wake up and start meditating before 4 a.m. because peak levels at that time. And you could have some very out of this world experiences through messing with those chemicals, but they actually, you know, we've started during quarantine, we're in bed by like 9:30 and we're out of bed before 5. And that was really hard to shift into, especially when we got a puppy, but she was like, no, sorry. But now once we like my body naturally, I feel like we turn off all electronics. I have on your phone, you can change it to having, you can set like the sleep timer so it'll remind you to go to bed. And then like after, I think I have it until 9:30 until 7 a.m. the next day, my phone, I can't text anybody. I can't get on social media. I can't check my email. I can't if I want. I have to put my password in. Sometimes I do. But like it stops me because, you know, if you wake up stressed or in that program or going to bed thinking about something you don't want to think about, and you go for the easiest thing to distract you. And if you know that's a part of your coping mechanisms, it's just helped me. So I feel like I need to share this. Just set yourself up for success. Put some boundaries down, right?
Mm-hmm. And even one that's helped me a lot is, and I used to keep my phone in my bedroom at night, like charging on, you know, on our end table. But now I leave it charging in the living room. And that's made a huge difference. And some people may say, well, like, what about your alarm clock? Well, if I'm going to bed by 10, I'm waking up at 6:30 just naturally on my own. Yes, if you still have to set an alarm, I mean, you can get just like a normal clock, or hopefully you can hear it from the other room, but that's really helped, is just putting it in another space. And same too, if at nighttime you find you're scrolling on social media at night, is go put it charging in another room. So you don't even have access to it. But yeah, it's setting yourself up for success, and it's setting your body up too. So two other things you want to think about throughout your day is, you know, we touched on caffeine, Lauren, but you really want to try and nix, you know, any caffeine after 12 PM. Some people, if that's like, you know, you're still having a coffee at 5 p.m. right now, try for 2 p.m. and then keep working your way up to 12. This also does not mean that you can have two venti coffees before 12 p.m. Still going to mess with your sleep. But people don't realize that, like, coffee affects you for 6 to 8 hours after you have it, or caffeine, I should say, in general. So really being conscious of, you know, we were talking about some solutions for people. If you're like an avid coffee drinker, is do half decaf, half regular. Decaf coffee is just as delicious as regular coffee. It just has less caffeine. And maybe eventually you get to a point where you're just doing decaf coffee. This is also going to help, and Lauren can attest to it, it's going to help your natural energy levels by taking down the caffeine that you're feeding your body. I just had a client start a few weeks ago, and she was drinking 40 to 50 ounces of caffeine a day between iced tea and coffee, and 20 ounces of water a day. So yeah, it was really out of whack. And the only thing we changed in the beginning, and she had terrible sleep. She was actually one of those light sleepers, like, you know, just identified with, I'm a light sleeper. I don't sleep well. That's just who I am. And she started doing half decaf. Some of her cups were decaf coffee, and then she would have one regular cup. And then we got her down to doing a week of no caffeine. And it was actually her choice, because she started to feel better with less caffeine. So she wanted to try it. And I will say, for anyone listening, it is actually good periodically to do like a caffeine-free week. You may get some headaches. It may not feel so great, but you will feel great later when you are tapping into those natural energy levels. And now, you know, she's just drinking decaf coffee now. She has the most energy. And in terms of sleep, she doesn't even wake up anymore when her husband comes to bed. And that was a big thing, is she constantly was waking up anytime there was a noise or anything, and she's sleeping through the night. So that's one part, is caffeine. In terms of other beverages and food, alcohol, you want to try and stop at least 2 hours before bedtime. And the reason why I say bedtime is because if you're one of those people who's going to bed at midnight right now, I don't want you to stop your alcohol intake at 10 p.m. I want you to think about stopping it at 8 p.m. and thinking 10 p.m. is your bedtime. Even if right now you're not at that goal and getting to bed at 10 p.m., that is bedtime. So research has shown, though, that ideally, actually, if you are going to have a glass of wine or, you know, have a cocktail, happy hour actually is the best time to have it, because it gives your body the time to metabolize it out. But what happens is, if you have if you have alcohol, and even if you're just, you know, you're still sipping on that glass of wine from dinner. And I know a lot of people do this. They'll, you know, they have a glass of wine at dinner, then they pour another one so they can watch their show, and they just casually sip on it. You wouldn't think that would have a big impact. But what it actually does is, we talked about stage four, which is that REM rapid eye movement sleep when we dream. You cannot dream when there's alcohol in your system. So you cannot get into that deep stage four sleep while there's still alcohol. Now, some people may say, well, like I have crazy dreams when I drink alcohol. So how is, I am dreaming. Well, no, what's actually happening is, because we talked about how we go through those stages 4 or 5 times. When your body finally metabolizes that alcohol out, it tries to play catch up because it couldn't get into stage 4. So then you get these crazy dreams. Your emotional processing is like all over the place. This is where too, you can wake up the next morning feeling really exhausted. If anyone's ever woken up in the middle of a dream or their alarm clock's gone off and they're in the middle of a dream and they just feel so tired and they feel like they didn't even sleep, which honestly, if I have a few cocktails, that's actually usually how I feel. Now I'm very conscious of the timing of them, but your body is not prepared for it and you don't get that deep sleep. And then you wake up not feeling good. And whenever you get poor sleep, we talked about how while we sleep, it's really a time for our hormones to be resetting, but also firing. And 2 hormones in particular, and this gets back to Lorna saying, you could be going to the gym every day, eating perfectly, and this is why I'm going to tell you, if your sleep isn't good, you're not going to reach your goals. So we have 2 hormones, ghrelin and leptin. Ghrelin is our hunger hormone, and leptin is our satiety hormone. So when you get poor quality sleep the next day, and I'm sure we can probably all attest to this, also, especially if we had some drinks the day before as well, your ghrelin levels increase. So your hunger levels and your hunger hormone increases, and it also increases for more palatable foods. So like salty, sweet, kind of carb heavy, right? But then also our leptin hormone, our satiety hormone, decreases the next day. So that's where it can just throw things out of whack. And the next day people tend to eat more. They also tend to not make as healthy choices because they're craving those palatable foods. And then also something to think about too is you're getting some muscle repair when you're sleeping as well in that stage 3, that rest and restoration. So then the next day 2, you're like, oh, do I want to go to the gym? Oh, I'm feeling so sore, or I don't want to exercise today. And so it really affects your next day. So these are the things that I want people to be thinking about. So we talked about caffeine, trying to stop around noon, alcohol intake at least 2 hours before bedtime. And then also food intake, try same with alcohol, at least 2 hours before bedtime, no food. So around 8 PM, try for no food after that. It can just mess with our sleep, especially if there's sugar in it. And that's something too, is even if you take in a lot of sugar throughout the day, that can affect your sleep. So just be mindful of how much sugar you're taking in. But if you stop eating, around 8 PM, 2 hours before that bedtime, or if you do go to bed at like 9 PM, try for 7, it shouldn't affect you negatively there.
Yeah, I know. I was testing out intermittent fasting this year. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was more important when I stopped eating dinner or whatever the last food, because yeah. I'll do lemon water in the morning, and I've been doing celery juice for a few weeks too. And that is a game changer too with my energy levels. And then I'll do a smoothie. But usually I would wait to have anything but water until, at least 12, 15 hours. But I found, like, especially as a woman, it didn't really suit my body as much. And I don't think women realize, like, all of these studies like that are on men and hormonally, like, mm-hmm. as we shift through our cycles, that's not always the best thing for you.
Yeah, no, for women, the research really shows that like a 12 to 14 hour window is better. And I feel like sometimes when people hear that, they're like, oh, that still sounds long though. But if you think about it, yeah, if you're done eating by 8 PM, a 14 hour window, that means you can eat breakfast at 10 AM, right? Or you can eat breakfast at 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. because it's a 12 to 14 hour window. Yeah, I don't usually recommend any women to do longer than 14 hours. Just like you said, Lauren, with our hormones and what the research has shown, the only time it seems to possibly benefit women is postmenopausal. But again, I still think more research needs to be done because it really can affect our hormones. And I also just don't, I think there's other ways to achieve your health goals without having to give yourself a short window of time to eat versus just looking at it more so as, okay, I should probably stop eating by this time at night because it's going to better my sleep. It's going to get, you know, which is part of an intermittent fasting, but it's going to give my insulin cells time to regenerate so I can better manage my blood sugar the next day and things like that.
All good things. And I know for me, it's when I make a change, like something to do with my sleep or my diet or lifestyle, I always have to focus on what I can gain. Because when you tell somebody, like, I was the person for years, I've stopped, tried to stop drinking coffee, and I'd go off of it, go back on, you know, and just that cycle. And my partner, he's so sweet, but he's just like, thought you were done with that again, aren't you? You know, just giving me a hard time as he does. But focus on what you can gain, you know, not what necessarily you can lose. And I think you're beautifully describing that of all these beautiful aspects of a good night's sleep. I just realized once we started really sleeping like 9 to 5-ish every night, I dream every single night. And like, my partner and I wake up, I'm like, did you just have really cool dreams last night? Yeah, did you? And it's like, I think we're connected, but no, it's because we're getting good sleep.
You're getting good sleep. And it's important to learn, especially with, like, you know, immunity is top of mind right now. Yeah. And it's really interesting. I think we all know if we get bad sleep consistently, we're probably more susceptible to being sick, but there's been studies done that if you typically get less than 6 hours of sleep, you are 4 times more likely to get a cold or to get cold, flu, et cetera. And then another study that came out that's really interesting, especially with everyone, you know, either thinking about or getting a vaccine for COVID, is if you had poor quality sleep the week leading up to your flu shot vaccine, but they're finding it's just for vaccines in general. Obviously, they have not tested it on the COVID vaccine. We haven't done a lot of testing on that. But they're finding that if you didn't get good quality sleep the week leading up to it, the flu vaccine was less effective and significantly less effective. So it's something to think about too. If, you know, if you're getting your COVID vaccine shot right now, or your flu vaccine or any type of vaccine, you really want to think about what your sleep is like the week leading up to it. So it actually works, right? Because I mean, sometimes they don't work for people. I know a lot of people get the flu vaccine, they still get the flu, right?
Yeah.
It's not foolproof, but it's really interesting to think, I wonder, like, and I do, I'm like, I wonder what their sleep was like the week before, which some people probably think I'm nuts, but those are the things you have to think about. And like, there are support tools too. So in terms of supplementation, my two go-tos for sleep, magnesium's my first one. One, we are all deficient in magnesium pretty much. I mean, if you're hitting your magnesium levels, kudos to you, especially if you're doing it just through food. But most of us are deficient in magnesium. And what I love about magnesium is it's not only going to improve your sleep, right? It's magnesium basically helps our muscles contract and relax. So it's almost like a natural muscle relaxer, which just sounds so amazing before bed. But also too, if you're exercising and moving your body, it's great to have in there as well. It also helps to manage stress, which is a big part. If you have increased stress, your sleep definitely isn't going to be as good. And if your sleep is poor, your stress is going to increase. So that's a never-ending cycle, which we, you know, be a whole topic for another time. But magnesium is one of my go-tos, and you take it about an hour or two before bedtime. And again, it just helps kind of your, you know, your body relax a bit. But what it's also been shown to do too is help your brain relax. So if you have all these ideas running in your head, which sometimes can keep us up at night, it can help. So you do want to look for, because there are so many supplements out there, you do want to look for something that has magnesium glycinate in it. That's going to be very beneficial. It's highly absorbable, and also a chelated magnesium. And that's again going to increase the absorption. So taking a magnesium at night is one option. And then I kind of say, like, the second part, if you've tried magnesium, you're still having trouble sleeping. Or two, if you're like a night shift worker, if you're a nurse and you work nights and it's just hard to get your circadian rhythm lined up with the sun at nighttime because you're flip-flopped, that's where melatonin can really help. And also too, for if you're traveling long distances and you have jet lag, melatonin is really beneficial for that as well. But melatonin can help you fall asleep faster and then stay asleep longer as well. The big thing to know with melatonin is it's so important how you dose it. Because if you take too much melatonin, you actually can find yourself exhausted, but you cannot go to sleep. So it can have the opposite effect, or people will have like very crazy, vivid dreams or night terrors even. So what you want to do is, if you've never taken melatonin before, start low. So start at like 1 milligram, maybe 1.5 milligrams, and add 0.5 milligram each time until you hit your sweet spot. You may be fine at 1 milligram. You may be fine at 1.5 milligrams. But for some people, you know, they may have to do that 0.5 milligram until they get to 3. Who knows? It's every person is different. But you want to always increase that dose by 0.5 to make sure you don't go over. And then, because, right, doesn't that just sound like the worst? You know, feeling exhausted, but you physically cannot go to sleep. And also, we want to improve. We naturally make melatonin. We naturally want to improve it on our own if we can, but sometimes we do need help. And those are people I really look at, like night shift workers or people that travel a lot, especially if they're traveling overseas a lot, which right now with COVID, a lot of people aren't, but people are starting to travel again. And it's something to think about adding into your repertoire. But I don't think it's something that, oh, I have poor sleep, I'm just going to pop 10 milligrams of melatonin and that's my solution. You want to do all the things and lifestyle changes we talked about and include, maybe you start including a magnesium and see if that helps first. And then if you still need that extra support, add in the melatonin and then check back in with yourself periodically if you still need it, right? Because again, melatonin we make on our own. Magnesium, most of us are deficient. So I wouldn't say stop the magnesium once your sleep is good. But the melatonin, always just check in with yourself too, because our goal would be that we're using our natural melatonin levels, but sometimes our bodies just do need that extra support.
Oh yeah. I'm a huge magnesium advocate. It's game changer. And I know.
Lauren. I love mine. Yeah. I'm like obsessed.
Yeah. And it, I started taking it for like, I can't even remember. I think I started taking it for, I had my migraines years ago and it ended up helping me digestively support a healthy digestive system. Relaxed me. It helped with my anxiety. I will say, I think dosaging with magnesium as well, especially if you're taking it like as a supplement and not transdermally, to be careful. And maybe you have more suggestions on like where to start out, because digestively it can relax your muscles a little too much.
Yeah. So Lauren has a good point. And so what Lauren's getting at too is, because it's a natural muscle relaxer, you know, which is great too, if you need help with your bowel movements and you need help to go more, it can be, but this is also where form comes into play. So something like a magnesium oxide, that is actually mainly there to help you if you need to go to the bathroom. If you need help with your bowel movements, that's one. But the issue there is you're not absorbing as much magnesium as you can. And that's actually why also you go to the bathroom. So that's why when we talked about a magnesium glycinate, that's why that one can be so helpful, is the absorption level so high. And when it's a chelated as well, you're absorbing it the most. So you have less of a risk of having GI repercussions, but not in a bad way. Again, some people, like for me, I love it actually helps keep me regular, you know, like because I'm not taking a magnesium oxide or one that can act, you know, that's what it's actually there for a lot of the time, or given or prescribed by doctors too. But if you're taking a glycinate, you should be okay. But in terms of dosing, I really would say anywhere between 250 milligrams up to 500 milligrams. Some people could even go up to 800. But I would consult your doctor first before going that high and actually and get your magnesium levels checked if you can. But starting off at, 250 milligrams or 300 milligrams is a really safe bet, and then tailoring up. And I think that's actually, you know, it comes back to, we were talking about melatonin, but just with supplements in general, starting off lower, seeing how you feel, how your body reacts, and then start to tailor up, because your body also has to get used to taking it in. If you, you know, all of a sudden flood it with all these things, it's not going to know what to do with it right away.
Agreed. And I know for magnesium, the more stressed out you are, the higher burn rate that you have.
Yeah. So you excrete. Yeah. You excrete more magnesium. Yeah. That's another, we talked about the sleep stress vicious cycle. The magnesium stress cycle is very vicious too. So as your stress levels increase, we excrete more magnesium. And as you lose more magnesium, our response to stress becomes worse. So that's where it just becomes this cycle. So, I mean, kudos to you if you're listening and you're like, I have no stress in my life. But to me, magnesium is such a game changer. If you have any type of stress, if you're working out in general, right, you're using your muscles, which I think almost all of us are, even if we're just moving our body each day. And if we want help, you know, possibly with better sleep too.
So it's such an impactful, information full episode. I would love to keep talking, but I'm going to have to like wrap this up a little bit. It always happens. So if people are interested in working with you, or maybe what kind of supplements to be looking out for, where can we go? How can we get in touch with you, Kate?
Yeah. So for myself on Instagram, I'm at LiveWellWithKate. That's also my business handle, but also go to Nordic Naturals social page. We have such amazing recipes and other health and wellness information. And in terms of supplementation, and obviously I am pro Nordic Naturals, which I never thought I'd work for a supplement company, to be honest, but I'm so impressed with the quality of their products. And that's something you really want to buy from a brand that you trust the quality of their products and trust them as a company. And they have people there like a dietitian, right? Or scientific advisors that are making sure everything is up to par, like those forms, right? Choosing the right form of your supplement as well is really key. I also want to mention, we do have a podcast that just came out. It's called Naturally Well by Nordic Naturals. It's really just focused on, you know, like my bio said, getting people to be healthier and happier. We have some amazing wellness experts on there. There's no focus on supplementation. Obviously that can be a part of some of episodes. But it's really just to put you on a path to a happier and healthier lifestyle. So go check that out. It's on all podcast platforms. But we're really proud of this Naturally Well podcast.
Awesome. I'll have to add that to my list to listen to. Thank you, Kate, for taking the time to inform us all about sleep. I know there's actually a few things I honestly am going to try because of our episode. Thank you for showing up for yourself and taking that time and going to Italy. Oh, how amazing. But thank you for taking the time for us today. And I always close every episode, how may we, the listeners, as an act of gratitude, be of service for you in return today?
I really think, you know, do something for yourself today. That's how I light up when I see people just being healthy, because it's going to, It's going to make you happier. It's going to just make you feel good. So do something today that's going to make you feel good, whether, you know, Lauren, we talked about it earlier, but just getting outside and going for a walk. I did that this morning and it is a game changer for me. Walks in the morning versus days when I don't walk in the morning are very different. So yeah, whether it's getting outside, going for a walk, but do something just for you today, even if you only take 5 minutes.
Yes, 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 yes. And it's never too late to take that 5 minutes. I remind myself that all the time. Sometimes it's a multiple 5 minutes throughout the day. But thank you again, Kate, for coming on the show. I had such a wonderful time talking with you.
Thank you, Lauren. I did as well.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.